Hello, and welcome to the Art of Intuition podcast. My name is Susan Jane, and I believe that trusting your intuition is the best way to live your life with meaning and purpose. Each week you will hear about how you can connect, develop, and trust your intuition through interviews with other guests and my own personal experiences. Join me to understand how your intuition can guide you towards a life full of meaning and loving purpose. Hello and welcome to the Art of Intuition podcast. I'm Susan Jane, your host, and today we have got lovely Chris Plaud on the show. Now, Chris is all about meditation and breath work. He is a coach, but we want to really get into the nitty-gritties of meditation and breath work and how that heals and how that helps. But you've got to check out his website. Look, when we have guests on the show, I have to have a look at their website. I have to check them out, make sure they're all right and everything else. His website's one of those websites that you go on it and straight away your energy just goes, oh. I don't know why, but it just straight away, you just sort of went, I just went, oh, what a nice website. And I mean, it's nothing out of the ordinary, don't get me wrong, but it just the energy in that website, if that's anything to do with his breath work and his coaching, mate, you're going to have a great interview this today. So you're going to have a great listen today. But do what you need to do. Go and like and subscribe and share and all the rest of it. But I'm going to welcome in Chris to our show. Hey, Chris, how are you going?
Hey, how are you? Thanks for having me today. I can't wait to tell my website designer, show her this, what you just said. She's going to love it.
It's really good. And look, honestly, I work with websites and I work with marketing. Mm-hmm. But just to go on there and the feeling of that energy just going, oh, it was really nice. It was like, wow, this is a lovely website. And did you say a girl designed it, a lady designed
it? Yeah, she sure did. A good friend of mine, Layla Radar. Yeah.
Yeah, no, you can really see it's lovely, really well designed. And one of my other part-time jobs is marketing, and I do websites, and it's like, wow, I could really see how nice that was. So congratulations. Tell us she's doing really well.
I can't wait to do that. Thank you so much.
And I look at a lot of websites, as we all do. Yeah. But enough of that, Chris. This is not about us. This is about our guests, our listeners, And I want to just get a bit of an understanding about how you got to where you are. Like this, you're a conscious performance coach. How did you get there? Like, was there big changes in your life or was it a gradual move? Tell us a little bit about Chris.
Well, I followed my intuition. basically, you know, I grew up out east in the east coast of the States, Boston area, Massachusetts. I like anyone, you know, we have our influences in life. We have our people that are looking out for us and trying to guide us to have the happiest, most successful lives that that they know, right? So the whole idea for me was growing up in an environment where you play sports, you go get a business degree, you work for a great company. And when you work for that great company or make enough money, buy a house, have kids, and everything is going to be fantastic. That's it for the rest of your life. I think a lot of people have that story. I followed that. I did just that. I got a business degree. I worked for various companies, Walt Disney World, Xerox, Enterprise Rent-A-Car, medical device sales. And, you know, and even though they are great companies, I didn't realize that at the time that they weren't my calling, right? It wasn't what I was meant to do, because every time I got into them for about a year, it was like, okay, there's something missing. There's something that's not here that I need to see, that I need to do, that there's more. And what was under me the whole time was my love for sport, for physical, for pushing myself, for pushing others, you know, in team environments. And, you know, what I soon realized, especially moving out to Los Angeles, was that working as a coach and helping people and helping them reach their deep the depths of themselves. First, it was in the fitness industry. You know, I got to travel around the world and certify instructors and present different materials and workshops. And, you know, I had a really great life, but it kept getting deeper and deeper to the point where I was like, there's something more. And I don't want to just deal with the health and wellness, which is a huge part of it, but I want to look at all areas of people's life. What makes them tick? What's the programming? What is the drive that gets them from point A to point B and fall in love with that journey, not just cross the finish line? So I'm realizing, and what I realized, it wasn't just about success and checking off the boxes and getting to the goals, but the journey along the way and the process of how we got there.
Oh, that is amazing. And I love that aspect of the journey, because too often we're so focused on the goals that we miss the journey along the way. We miss all those things that we can, that information that we can gather. So yeah, I really understand that. That's very, very cool. So you've gone there. So you've got an understanding. So you've thrown away the business side of things as far as working for people, and you've created your own coaching business. Is that correct?
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Yep.
Before we go any further, I just want to let you know Chris's website, because for the people that are listening, with our internet, right? If you're listening, and I can see my internet is going very low for some reason, we'll just keep on powering on and see how we go. It is www.chrisplaud. Now it's C-H-R-I-S .com. And I'm not sure what's going on here, but we're having a few internet issues, but let's keep on going. Chris, if this doesn't work out, we'll get together again and we'll do it again. Don't worry. It'll all happen.
We'll move it. It's all happening at the right time in the right place. So we're here now, so we'll make it happen.
Okay. What I want to know now is, because I've got that lovely feeling you've really got that understanding. You've had the experience. You've had the actual training and understanding. What the hell is meditation, and why is it so important to us? I want someone else's view, not just mine.
I know, right? Well, it's not complicated, actually. It's very simple. The art of meditation is the ability to sit with oneself and be present, like not thinking about what could potentially happen in the future, because that's where anxiety comes from. Not looking at the past and going, well, if it happened this way, if it happened that way, then I'd be in a different place and living in regret. It's being right here with yourself right now. Now, meditation can happen just sitting. It can happen in movement. It can happen in breathing. You know, there's so many different ways and people's definitions to it. And I don't try to define it for someone. But if you can be present, especially with the senses, and what I mean by that is paying attention to your breathing, right? The sound of your breath, the visualization of the breathing coming in and out. So you're seeing it, the hearing of it, the rising and the falling of the chest or the belly, right? Really getting into that aspect. Maybe it's a noise that's coming out as you hum, or a mantra you might say, or whatever the case. Some people like to say affirmations, whatever the case. But if you can really get present and be in the moment, that's what meditation is. And the more we practice it, right, because it's a meditation practice, the more we get to peel back the layers of ourself, right, and get underneath the programming that has been instilled with us for such a long time, and we get to take off the masks that we put on to fit into society, and we get to sit with our souls, with our hearts, with ourselves. And I think for most, when we find that and we really connect to that, that's a beautiful, beautiful thing to look at, to be with. And so many people just want to avoid that and not connect to that because of some past hurt or trauma or all this other stuff. And I truly believe that all of this has happened, whatever we have been through has happened for us in life. It's happened to teach us who we are. And the more we can kind of accept that we can't change the past, but we can be with what we are right now, the more we're going to start to acknowledge and be and start to live those lives we're meant to be. So that's essentially the small version of it, the short one.
Yes. And I do agree with you. It's so funny because it is so simplistic and yet so challenging in another way. Right. And some of the challenging, and maybe this is what we can address, because we left our interview a little bit open, but maybe one of the challenges is something that we can look at and we can address, because you did mention avoidance to start with. And I know that that's a huge aspect of people just not starting or not doing something. And I know that, you know, just to start, you can do it a 5-minute one every day just to start with. So let's have a look at these little avoidance. If we've got so many avoidances happening there, and I know when I first started, I was too busy. I don't have time. I am too precious, too busy to even bother with sitting down and doing nothing, you know. So I know I had a lot of avoidance until I did my coaching course, my life coaching course, and that's when you sort of went, well, I had to do it because it was part of the course. And mate, once I started, I just couldn't stop. But let's go back to what some of these avoidance could be, maybe how we can go through and get through them. But avoidance.
So I think, first of all, you know, people go through, you know, if they have to want to change, right? And one thing I've learned as a coach and, you know, as a son, as a father, as, you know, a friend, if people aren't ready to show up, right? If people aren't ready to kind of say, I want to make a change in my life, then nothing's going to change, right? So it's a matter of kind of meeting yourself and saying, okay, I like the saying, if you always do what you always done, you're always going to get what you always got, right? And there is that of our ego likes to keep things nice and safe and comfortable, and we are on this line, we're a master of all and everything is good. But when we really kind of look at ourselves in the mirror, you know, generally around 3 or 4 in the morning when the veil is thinnest, and we look into our eyes and we say, are you really happy? Are you truly where you want to be in life? You know, a lot of the times the answer is no, right? And at that moment, in that time of mourning, you know, there is not a whole lot of avoidance. That's where the truth is told, right? So when people make up excuses of hey, well, this isn't for me, or my head's too noisy, or da 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 da, well, do you want to change or not? You know, do you want to really meet that resistance that comes up? Right, that will come up. And by the way, resistance is essential for your strengthening of not just your physical body. Think about resistance as you work out, right? As you do a run, as you swim, as you do weights, you do yoga, whatever. Resistance shows up in all areas of your life. And if it's essential in order to strengthen you, not only physically, but emotionally as well. So if we can look at that resistance when it surfaces and say, hey, I see you, right? You're here for me to help me get stronger. Then we can meet it in a different way. So instead of fighting it and saying, no, why are you here? We can learn to dance with it. And if we learn to dance with what shows up for us, we're going to have a much more elevated life. It's not going to be so daunting. It's going to be, wow, you're not a problem anymore. You're a challenge here to teach me. And sitting with ourselves is one of those things that allows us to connect and shift perspective for what has happened in our lives for us. So this is just one of the little things that can happen. So if you get back to your original thing, avoidance is just the ego's way of wanting you to stay the same. And if you really want to change, we got to step into that resistance and move.
Wow, I love how you've explained that. That's wow. Okay, so when we're looking at it, you're saying using the resistance, and I loved how you did that with the physical and the spiritual, and it's an emotional, it's all the same, isn't it? Resistance does make us stronger. So for somebody who's using that as a bit of an avoidance sort of a tactic, what you're sort of saying is, okay, you're feeling like, if I put it back to myself, I can sort of get a better understanding. All right, you're feeling like you're so busy and so important that you don't have time to sit there with you and listen to what your heart is saying. And I certainly don't feel like I'm important. But anyway, I'm just putting it out there.
You are? Are you kidding? Everyone is, especially you.
but it's like, okay, so that's a resistance. All right, so to make me stronger, I have to step through that feeling, step through that emotion, and actually sit down and for 5 minutes and just sit with myself for 5 minutes.
That's right.
And if I can do that, I make myself stronger.
That's right. So next week it could be 6 minutes. The week after it could be 7 minutes. Now let me explain what's so beautiful about, you know, you've already might have done this with your audience in other meditation broadcasts, but first, what's going to happen when you sit down to meditate is you're going to have thoughts that come into your mind. You have 70,000 thoughts a day, right? Of course, they're going to come into your meditation. It's inevitable. It's going to happen, right? And so many controlling, perfectionistic people, right, go, well, if I'm not a master at it right away, then I'm not even going to attempt it and I'm not going to do it, right? I mean, I have been that. I have done that. But
yep.
It's the consistency in which you show up. So when you sit down to meditate and a thought comes in, I don't care what it is, if it's an above the line thought or a below the line thought, it's part of what's in your field. You say hello to it, acknowledge it, right? Every time you catch it and then you bring yourself back to center, right? Your center or senses, one of your senses that you're able to connect to be in the present moment, you check off a little box. You get a little hit of dopamine because you just met that challenge that came your way. You acknowledged it. You brought yourself back to center and you just got a little bit stronger. So it isn't. Maybe you're the first time they're meditating in 5 minutes, you're going to have 24 thoughts. Great. You just got 24 times stronger because you caught 24 of those thoughts because you acknowledged them and you saw them. What most people do is they see those thoughts and they go, oh, I told you I couldn't do it. Like, they knew it, and there it is. No, it is a process. It is a practice. And what eventually happens is you start to find that calmness, that left brain survival aspect that most people live in of, I want to be perfect. I want to control things. I'm going to do it out of scarcity, fear, control, anger, do it, go, go, go. Well, what happens is that gray matter from the left brain, once we find that calmness, falls and starts to move to the right brain. We can actually put a CT scan on somebody and watch this happen. So as we fall into ourselves and as we find that calmness within us, that gray matter moves to the right brain where we get to focus on more sage-like qualities, on more compassion with ourselves and others, more creativity, more innovation. Right. And that's the place where we want to live our lives from. Right. That's where we're going to live longer. That's where we're going to be happier. That's where we're going to be more successful. And that's the practice of getting there, is being able to sit with yourself in order to completely love yourself.
Wow. Okay. Sorry, I don't mean to keep saying wow, Chris, but it's like,
it's all good.
I just love how you explain it. And you know, because everybody takes it on board differently. But you talked about resistance, and I looked at resistance to start with is the resistance to even sit there and do the meditation. And now you're talking about resistance even while we're in the meditation. And as you were saying that, it was bringing back the times when I first started, the very first time I was doing meditation in a very mindful manner, because we can do meditation without realizing it sometimes, and I wasn't aware of that. But this was when I was really mindful, and it was more like the breath work where I actually sat and it was a more of a passive meditation. Mm-hmm. And I remember sitting there, and I know a lot of ladies will connect with this, because I would sit there and I would go, okay, starting to do the deep breathing, you know, starting to be aware of my breathing. And then, you know, you've got to bring the washing in. And it was like, okay. And I and what you said, you acknowledge it. And I went, yes, I know I do. And I'll do that later. But at the moment, I'm meditating. And I'd go back into it. And then it was, do you know the kids didn't make their beds this morning? Yes, I'm aware of that. But now I'm meditating.
but you know what you just did, though, which is great. And I absolutely love your energy, by the way, is that you caught it. And you did it in a loving way. You go, yes, but I'm meditating right now. Instead of, you caught it again. No, it was like, yes, I see you. Compassion, love for yourself. But I'm meditating right now. Let's get back to the meditation. The context of how you speak to yourself.
Absolutely. Right? I did a bit of swearing to start with. Don't worry.
Well, this is a perfect analogy, because what goes on, right? Most people, when they make a mistake or they fall down or fail in life, they beat themselves up like that. They talk, their self-talk is judgment, is this, is you did this and you did that, right? They fell down or put the hand on the stove, right? And they keep their hand on the stove and they continue to like feel that pain and allow themselves to feel that pain so they never do it again. Perfectionism has no peak. Perfectionism is something that you'll be very lonely, because nobody will be able to relate to you if you're a perfectionist, right? So what happens when you put your hand on that stove? Boom, take it off. Don't choose to put it there. Ow, I fell. We get to move through this life's journey, and we fall, we get hit, we get hurt, we get right back up, right? We learn the lessons from what we've been through instead of, and doing that and speaking to ourselves in that right brain loving way is going to be much more effective than coming from that judgment standpoint where we're exhausted and it really beats us up at the end of the day. So we learn and change and reprogram our neural pathways to live our lives in a much more fulfilling way.
Absolutely. And that was the biggest aha part when I started doing the meditation, is the fact that no, there is thoughts that are going to come through. You just acknowledge them and let them go. And I remember even saying, it was almost like you say, left brain, right brain, and you're almost talking to the other side and you're going, no, I know I've got to do that. And sometimes you'd go off on a little tangent and then you go, no, it's only 5 minutes. Will you please stop it? I am meditating for 5 minutes. But it was that practice and that consistency that got me through that. And it's really strange, because after a while, those little voices, or your voice, whatever it is, those thoughts, they do slow down. They do start to stop. Mm-hmm. And when you get into that beautiful space, I have to be honest, there was times there when I didn't want to come out of those. I would sometimes meditate before the kids got home. I would meditate for an hour and a half, just be sitting there. Oh, wow. And then all of a sudden, your pins and needles are in your toes and you sort of go, oh, okay. Mm-hmm.
I don't want to leave. Yeah.
You get to that stage where you don't want to leave. It is so, it's so peaceful and so serene. And yet it there's nothing else has changed. My whole world hadn't changed. It was just my whole inner world had started to change. And that's what's really, really important. But that's enough about me. Sorry. I want to go back to you.
It was beautifully put.
I want to get an understanding of So we've talked about the avoidance, and one of the avoidance was actually giving yourself the space and time to do it. Mm-hmm. The other avoidance is that you're not good enough, or you're frustrated, you've not got control over it. So how to get through that? So we've got through that too. What is there any other avoidances that that could be stopping people from actually sitting down and giving themselves 5 minutes a day?
Yeah, the avoidance of becoming the greatest version of yourself. Right? That we all are powerful and mighty and loving and have all this ability to accomplish incredible things in our lives. And that's scary as hell for a lot of people. Like that our ability to really make changes in this world. We all came here for a purpose. I truly believe that. And we all came here with certain karma that we're trying to learn, right? And I mean that from a standpoint of there's certain people in certain circumstances that keep showing up in our lives over and over again. And the reason they keep showing up over and over again is to teach us, is to show us that, hey, are you ready to look at this yet? Are you ready to learn this lesson yet? Are you ready to put the boundaries up on this type of person that keeps showing up? And once we get into that and we go, oh, okay, yes, I can be happy. I can not only be successful and make money and do all these things that everyone around me is doing, but I have the ability within me to leave this place better than I found it, right? Not just about me, but I get to really be in service of the earth, of the humanity, of everyone around me. I think that's our deepest desire, is to really be in service to something bigger than all of us, is something to really like call in and go, this is what we're here for, to really make an impact.
And I get that people are going through so much of their own issues or their own problems or their own situations that it's very, very scary to think that how can I help anyone else when I'm not helping myself, you know? So I get that. That is a big avoidance, you know? It's like, well, am I good enough to help them? Or, mate, I've just got too much happening. I just can't even look past my nose, let alone outside and be able to help anyone else.
Well, I'll just address really quickly on that, just because I know you got other questions. But here's the thing that I think a lot of people miss is they think they got to go out and help, and helping others doesn't necessarily mean that you're going to be, you know, working with them for hours upon hours and days upon days. You doing the work on yourself sets the precedent. Like, you are the example at that point. People will see it, and probably most people will never even say anything like, wow, I'm inspired by what you just did. I see a huge change in you. There is a lightness and a happiness that I haven't seen before. Some people will say it, of course, but others won't. And you're going to be inspiring and helping others in around you and your community in the world just by you doing the work on yourself. The higher you're able to vibrate, the better others around you are going to be. So it's about looking inside first and foremost, instead of going, oh, I'm going to help this person, that person, this person. It's us first. Absolutely. Hold the oxygen mask up.
Yes, absolutely. Absolutely. Because like you say, the more that we are in tune with who we are and what we're doing and how we're living, the better we can relate to other people. I mean, honestly, to help somebody else, it is as simple as saying, going through the checkout and just saying g'day to, or hello, sorry, that's my Australian, saying hello to the person serving you. Acknowledging that's a human, you know, acknowledging, how's your day been? And some of them, they don't even want to answer. So that's my goal. My goal is to make them talk to me.
I love it. Spreading the great energy around. Yeah. Spreading it around. Yep. Mm-hmm.
Absolutely. All right. So we've looked at those avoidance things. Is there any other avoidance you can think of? Because you sort of got me stumped a little bit. I can't think of anything else, but.
No, I mean, I think we're probably pretty hitting it on all. It's fear of failure and fear of success are the two big ones.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's and really to start practicing meditation, nobody needs to know, nobody needs to be aware. So there's no success, there is no failure. It's just you with you. So it doesn't matter. No one needs to know. That's right. But they will notice when you do start doing it, because you do become calmer. You do become your energy changes. You become a lovely person. But first of all, I want to get a little bit of an understanding. You talk about breath work, and I love that. But I want to get a little bit of an understanding on how someone, we've talked about their avoidances, so they're okay, they're keen to go. What is the best starting meditation for somebody who hasn't done it, that they're breaking through these avoidances, they've given themselves some time, you know, and just to give themselves time and, you know, during the day can be a challenge, but they're giving themselves the time. They've got a nice little space for themselves that they're going to use. What is the best basic meditation to start with?
I would say the simplest, easiest one would be, if you don't have an app, if you're just going to do it on your own, it would be box breathing. And quite simply, it's 4x4. So you're going 4 breaths in through your nose, pausing for 4, exhaling for 4 seconds, pausing for 4 seconds, inhaling for 4, pause for 4, exhale for 4, pause for 4. Just repeating of that is probably one of the simplest, most effective things you can do. And that's something you can do in the middle of your workday, right? You know, 5 rounds of that is going to make a difference just like that, right? That'll take how many, a minute, right? Or so, or 2 minutes at the most. But just starting with that alone, not to mention the hundreds of apps you could download that could guide you through something. There's just so many different ways, but that's what I think is the simplest one.
Okay. Now I really like that because when you say, we talked about the avoidance as far as those little thoughts that come in and out of your head, mm-hmm. when you're focusing on doing 4 and you're counting to 4. And I mean, really that's about, you know, my limit. I would go, yep, 4, 4, 4, yep. 4. Yep. I can do that. Every time a thought comes in, and you were saying earlier, when a thought comes in, bring it back to center. What you're saying is bring it back to your 4. Start your 4 again. 4, 4, 4, 4. Another thought comes in, go back to your 4 again. Say, thank you, I'm meditating, I'm counting to 4, that's it, go away. And then start your 4 again. So you're giving somebody something to focus on instead mm-hmm. of just saying, you know, let the thought go. But it's easy to say let the thought go, but I need something else to focus on. And to focus mm-hmm. on that count of 4x4x4x4, it stops a lot of that thought patterns coming in.
Just counting, you know, and that's why that could be like, you know, people say mantras or noises, humming or whatever. I mean, that's one of your senses, right? Yeah. You can count out loud if you wanted to, just bringing attention to the present moment. That's essentially all we're doing.
yeah. And it's one step at a time because later on you won't need to count to 4. You know, you'll be able to do it. But to start with, that's a perfect way of doing it. But I just want to put forward too, before we go any further as well, you have got a free breathwork session. You can receive a free breathwork session on the website. So jump onto Chris's website, which is Chris, Chris, Plourde, Plourde.com. And scroll down a little bit on his beautiful website and just go on when you're doing it. And there is, he asks for an email, which is really cool. And you can get a free breathwork session from there. So jump on that. Sorry, I just needed to put that in because
thank you.
any freebies are good. We love that.
There you go. Yeah.
Okay. And so with this 4x4 breathing, this is actually the breathwork that you're talking about. It's mm-hmm. it's the basic style of meditation to get us really going. But, of course, your breath work would go a lot. There's a lot more to it than just that.
Yeah, right. So breath work is a breath work class that I do one-on-one sessions with this. So the difference between that, what I just taught, that's box breathing. That's used primarily where we first heard it is through like the special ops here in the States uses it. I'm sure they do over in England as well, but it just really helps us calm our nervous system down and get us centered, right? So that we can make clear decisions from that right brain calm place. Now, breath work, on the other hand, not that it's completely different, but what we're doing is we're using, this is a holotropic deep breathing, session that could go anywhere from 20, 30, 40, 60 minutes of active breathing. Now the breathing is going to be more like this, and this is the way I teach it. It's more of 2 breaths in, 1 breath out. So it'll go. So it'll be belly, chest, exhale, right? And what this is going to do is flood you with oxygen, CO2, allow your body to have a response of getting rid of the stuck energy that's in our body. So think about all the tension we might carry in our shoulders and our hips and our areas that we might have had surgery on, you know, anywhere, lower back that you might be having problems with. I've literally seen people come into class in back pain or shoulder pain or whatever, and eliminate that pain from breathing, because I think the issues are in the tissues, right? And what are those issues? They're emotions. So what this breathwork has helped facilitating is allowing us to, like I said earlier, take off the layers, right? All those layers we put on over the years, taking off the masks that we put on to fit into society. I say it again, but get to the essence of your soul, right? And in order to do that, resistance comes up again. What surfaces is emotions that a lot of people don't want to feel or experience because they're hard emotions that could come in grief, sadness, a memory that has happened to us when we were younger, or it could be something beautiful, like a beautiful time in our lives. It's so many different ways. Maybe we need to laugh more, but in this session, it allows us to see these emotions. So there could be tears, there could be yelling, there could be laughing, there could be so many different things that come up, but it definitely sets us free. It definitely allows us to feel something that we haven't felt before. It could be a physical experience for some, it could be a mystical experience for others. There's no telling, but it's one of my favorite classes to teach because there's no doubt if it's done correctly, somebody's going to have an experience unlike anything they've ever had before. Because I know for me, when I first took it, I got off the floor and I said, I have to teach this. I can't keep this to myself. This is way too valuable. And the world has to experience this because I got so much from it.
Yeah, I totally get where you're coming from. Yeah, when you have these amazing experiences yourself, you do want to share them, don't you? It's mm-hmm. You just don't want to keep it to yourself. You want the world to know it. But what was that breathing called again? Because I have heard of that one, the two in and one out.
Holotropic breathwork. Holotropic. Now, deep breathwork comes in so many different ways. You know, so many different forms. This is just one of them that I'm talking about today.
Yeah. And so with the other different forms, you also teach those, or you also do them, or do you just use them when you need to? Like, that's your little sneaky trick.
Yeah, it's one of my tools, one of my many, many tools, but they're not mine specifically. I don't own them. I borrow them like everything else, you know what I mean? And we get to share depending on, you know, what the session requires. You know, sometimes there's nothing set in stone. I don't walk into every session going, this is exactly what we're going to do. But, you know, it just depends on the energy and what's needed that day.
Oh, okay, cool. So with them, so that's your coaches. That's your classes. You also mm-hmm. do like private coaching. So, and I can see workshops and retreats on your website too. Mm-hmm. So people can have a look at the workshops and retreats by jumping on the website. And I'm mm-hmm. not going to repeat it all again. You need to look at the notes down underneath. But you do private coaching, or you do group coaching as well, but I want to get a little bit more understanding of the private coaching, mm-hmm. how you do that, because I guess when we're talking internet here at this particular stage, and I'm getting a really clear understanding of how you would be able to teach me over the internet, mm-hmm. do you have any problems with that, or how do you go about doing that?
No, I mean, when I speak, when I first work with people, we'll just specifically talk about one-on-one right now. So generally we do a discovery call or calls, right? Just to see if we're the right fit for each other. If I'm excited to work with you, if you're excited to work with me, you know, if I'm going to be able to serve you and bring value to this, right? It's not, you know, you got to find the right coach that speaks to you. So we spend some time, you know, free of charge, the first call or so, just to get a feel for each other. And then when we start working, it's like, where do you want to be in a year? What are the results you want to have happen in your life, right? And we talk about tangible results and we talk about intangible results. So tangible results would be like, okay, I made X amount of dollars specifically, or, you know, I'm in a relationship that I've always wanted to be in. Like, those are things you can measure. But the intangible results we talk about are the ones that can't be measured. They're more the emotional ones. So for example, my cup is full. I'm at a one, on a scale of 1 to 10, I'm at a 10 every day, as opposed to where I was at a 4, right? I wake up on a Monday morning, I'm excited for the day, right? Like, I can't wait to embark on, I'm not just going for the weekend. I can't wait to jump into these Tuesday meetings. Like, there's an excitement, a joy that comes over you. So we get a real clear picture of where you want to be in a year. You know, I work with most people for about a year, or actually a lot longer sometimes, but we paint that beautiful island of what your life is going to be. And then from there, what coaching is about reprogramming and disrupting those old patterns that are no longer serving you to get you to that place that you're going to. See, most people go through life and they're running away from what they don't want, right? As a coach, I'm helping them see what they want and what they deserve and what they want to unleash within themselves. We're extracting the gifts that they have. We're looking at some of those life situations that happened for them. And we're saying, well, these are the things that gave you your superpowers. And then we're putting them into play so that they can be in service, so that they can work towards that next mountain that they're climbing, right? Maybe not knowing exactly how it's going to unfold, but I know the universe responds to action. We can wish it all we want, but if we're not in action, if we're not doing it on our own, and I'm not doing it for them, by the way, right? Yeah. I'm just holding them accountable and holding up the mirror. And when they are showing up, when they're in action, that's when the universe responds, right? So you can wish, oh, this would be great to have a nice meditation practice, but unless you show up on your meditation cushion or wherever you're going to sit and do it, it's not going to happen. If you're looking, yeah, this sounds amazing, I could really use a coach. Well, if you don't make that phone call or send out that email to get that first call, then it's not going to happen, right? There's an exchange that needs to occur so that you're going after what you want in life. And that's the key to it. You can wish it all you want, but even if I said to them, hey, I'm going to gift the next 5 people a free year's coaching session, guess what? Nothing would happen, because there needs to be an exchange first and foremost of you showing up, not just this thing. It's an energy exchange that happens between both of us that allows us to get to where we want to get to. And that's the exciting, awesome journey that is so beautiful. And I'm privileged and fortunate to work with so many people to help them realize that and to get where they deserve to be. So.
Yeah. Oh, that's lovely. Yeah. And I love how you've explained that too. Because a lot of people go, well, what do they do? You know, life coaching, what's that? And you've explained it really, really well, because it's about them getting to where they need to be. And unless they action it, when you talk about saying, you can wish for it as much as you like, I look at it with the intuition side of it. It's like, you're asking. But you're not seeing that it's being, you're receiving that information. You're not seeing it, you know, because you're not actioning anything. You're not actually stepping towards it. So, yeah.
You've heard the law of attraction, right? Everybody's heard of the law of the attraction, right? And a lot of people have seen The Secret and all this and all that. Well, they were missing one important thing in that, right? And they addressed this, I think, in the second one, but John Astroff hit it. He said, they're missing the law of Goya. Right? Okay, you can have the law of attraction, but you're missing the law of Goya. The law of Goya is get off your ass. Right? that's what was missing. So many people are like, well, nothing's happening. Well, get off your ass. The law of Goya.
Exactly. But we're running out of time now, John. Chris, sorry, where did I get John from? Whoa.
I don't know.
Yeah, sorry.
Well, Freudian slip somewhere.
All right. I don't know any jokes.
All right. We'll unpack that later after the call. We'll see what's going on.
Ooh, okay. Oh, you said John. That's where it was.
Oh, John Astroff. Yes.
Yeah, that's where it was. Yes. Okay. Oh, phew.
Right. So, good save. There's something else there. I feel it. No, I'm just kidding.
Yeah. No. But yeah, we're getting a bit low on time now, Chris. Is there anything else you want to bring forward? Any last words?
Yeah, no, it's all areas of your life is what we're looking at. Not just, you know, let's get into a new career or anything, but, you know, fortunately, like I said, I've been in the health and wellness industry. We're looking at how you treat your body, how you treat your spirituality, your financial relationship, your personal relationships with yourselves and others, and then your professional. And if we can look at all those areas and get them spinning in this beautiful way, and that's what we do, then the trajectory of your life is heading in a whole different direction. So, you know, it is about setting goals and going after them, but it's also falling in love with the journey of being your greatest self. And I love it when people really understand that, when they can be that, when they can really take the bumps and take the falls and get right back up and look at these beautiful scars that they now adorn, that once where there was shame, now there's pride, because that's who they are and that's where they're at. And I just love being in service and seeing people understand that of themselves. So thank you.
Oh, my pleasure. And I think that sort of just rounds it right off. It's that holistic approach, isn't it? That's the whole holistic wellness that you're providing. And just starting off by doing 4x4x4x4 breaths, 5 minutes a day, we'll actually start to get that holistic healing happening. And it's such a beautiful way to do that. Yeah, the energy changes and everything happens. But thank you so much for being on the show. It's been
my pleasure. Thank you for having me. Are you kidding?
And like I said, the link will be down below. So jump on and have a look at Chris's website. You will love it. I don't know what she's done, but as soon as I saw it, I don't know, maybe it's all the white space or it was just so calming.
She's a talented one.
Oh, but not just that. It's obviously your energy coming through too. So it's really lovely. But that's it. We've got to say goodbye. Thank you so much for being on the show. Stay on because we have to take the photo bit, you know.
Gotcha.
Yeah, okay. So you can get your makeup and your hair done and you'll be fine. All right, thank you so much, Chris. That was lovely. I nearly called you John again.
That's all right.
Right. Oh, guys, that was wonderful. And I love how we can just really drill down and get a really clear understanding of it. Because at all times I've talked about meditation, I haven't gone into it in a great depth. And I really have never gone into the avoidance side of it, because that's really, really important for us to start healing, is to see those little hiccups, those challenges that we face, and then to go forward with them. So check out Chris's website, see his classes, his coaching and the workshops and things like that. You'll be amazed. It's lovely. But that is it for me. I will see you next week and I hope you have a great day. Subscribe, like, share, do what you need to do, and I'll see you next week, guys. Okay, bye for now.